Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." For many centuries, on the second Sunday after Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, the very comforting image of the divine role of shepherd is emphasized for the continual encouragement of those who had been baptized at Easter. Many who began their lives in Christ on the feast of the resurrection would understand that they may soon face persecution for this newfound life, and they wondered whether they would be abandoned. In addition, the clergy of the church would hear the call of the Good Shepherd once again and be emboldened themselves to act in his stead, not as hirelings, but in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. Today, if you simply needed to hear the message that God is as a shepherd and that Christ is the shepherd and bishop of your souls, never to leave nor forsake you, consider the message delivered. But the message of the Good Shepherd goes much deeper than even this comforting truth. And so for a fresh insight, perhaps, to inform our vision of the Good Shepherd, we return to the earliest chapters of the Bible, to a very familiar scene. In the second chapter of the book of Exodus, we first encounter the figure of Moses. And in the span of just 25 verses, Moses is conceived and born. He is put in the little craft set out on the water, spared from the wrath of Pharaoh, who sought to kill the firstborn of all the Hebrews who served as his slaves. He was delivered by Pharaoh's daughter and the maidens of Pharaoh's house, and raised to adulthood in the household of that great ruler. In his adulthood, he witnesses an Egyptian beating one of his Hebrew kinsmen, and in his wrath against that injustice, he committed his own and murdered the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Learning that his act was witnessed by others, he fled into the desert to escape the possible recompense that he would endure as punishment for his violence, and he seeks refuge in the land of Midian, where he meets his wife and enters the service of his new father-in-law, taking on a new role. And the role of Moses in the land of Midian is that of a shepherd. All that in 25 verses. Moses, now the tender of sheep, takes his flock through the highlands and encounters a mystically wild sight, a bush that burns and is not consumed. And more wonderful than just the vision alone, Moses encounters God there, and he is made to take off his shoes, and a conversation ensues that by the end has heard Moses ask two important questions and receive two important answers. When God informs Moses the shepherd that he is to lead, even as a shepherd, the chosen people out of bondage into the promised land, he asks his first of two crucial questions. First, Moses asks, perhaps rhetorically, the following question: Who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Probably rather than who am I, he's actually asking, what business does a dumb shepherd like me have doing something as incredible as that? The answer to the question, who am I should say the question is ignored by God, because the answer is implicit when he responds to the question that Moses should have answered: am I supposed to do this on my own? The explicit answer he receives is, certainly I will be with thee. And the implicit answer given to the stated question, who am I, is this: you are the one that I have called. Moses the shepherd, you are the one that I have called, and certainly I will be with you. Then comes the second question. After who am I comes the much better question from Moses the shepherd, who are you? Or rather, what shall I call you? What is your name? And God's answer is the following. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Moses the shepherd is brought into the presence of God, not unlike the fishermen that would one day be asked to leave their nets and become fishers of men. He is called to leave his flock of sheep and go to the flock of God's people in response to the great commissioning of Moses. Moses asks, who am I? And here's the response, you're the one I've called. Moses asks, who are you? And the response is returned, I am. That name, I am, expressed in Hebrew with four letters called the Tetragrammaton, which just means four letters, is so hallowed and cherished amongst the Jews that until this day they refuse to pronounce it. The obvious reason for which is that the fourth commandment instructs God's people not to use the name of the Lord in vain. And so the logic is if you never pronounce the name, then you can't be guilty of using it in vain. The tradition is essentially preventative in measure, but there is such an irony with that preventative measure. The context in which the name Yahweh was given was to Moses as an answer to the anticipated question, what shall I say when the people wish to know your name? God answered Moses, thus shalt thou say, not shalt thou not say, thus shalt thou say, say it. Say it unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. The shepherd is to pronounce the name to the flock, Yahweh has sent me unto you. In the gospel for this Good Shepherd Sunday, we encounter Jesus in the 10th chapter of the gospel according to St. John. By this time, Jesus has made several provocative claims about himself using a familiar phrase. The people that he has come to are as curious as they can be about who he is. And when he describes himself, he uses a familiar phrase, probably not in Hebrew, but Aramaic. In the 6th chapter, after multiplying loaves and fishes, Jesus instructed his followers not to pursue the kind of bread that perishes, but that which lasts eternally. And when asked for this bread, he says, I am the bread of life. In the 8th chapter, spoken in the context of granting sight to a man born blind, he says, I am the light of the world. In the 10th chapter, for those needing direction and a way to follow, Jesus would say, I am the door. In the 11th chapter, Jesus, standing before one Mary, grieving the loss of Lazarus, her brother, and exclaiming that she knew she would see Lazarus again in the resurrection, in much the same way that he responded to those who sought everlasting bread, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus would later say to his disciples in his farewell discourse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And shortly afterwards, I am the true vine. And to those Pharisees who despised his sayings about Abraham, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. You see a pattern developing here. And in the final passage of St. John's Gospel, where Jesus uses the phrase, I am, something astounding happens. We only hear it, I think, once in all of our propers liturgically read for the year. Jesus is approached by a mob who came to arrest him, calling out that they sought Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus replied, I am he. Scriptures say, As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. The soldiers and the temple guard had come to a garden and witnessed Jesus, not unlike the burning bush, ablaze but not consumed, for Jesus would be crucified, not destroyed. He would suffer but persevere. Rightly does he say, I am, and rightly do they fall to the ground, not unlike take off your shoes. You don't know in the midst of whom you have come. They fell to the ground, for the ground was holy ground. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, when people wanted to know about him, was not afraid to say, I am. But in the 10th chapter of John, the passage we hear from today, Jesus speaking of himself in the context of shepherding imagery says, I am the good shepherd. This Good Shepherd Sunday, our attention rests upon that statement, that one of the I am statements of the gospel according to St. John. When Jesus looks out at people who are like sheep without a shepherd, and he declares to them, I am the good shepherd, he suggests that when persecution comes, when the wolf approaches, when danger draws near, the hireling, the assistant, the one who watches the sheep for pay, will say to himself, I don't get paid to do this. And he'll leave the flock to their destruction. But Jesus, like Yahweh speaking from the indestructible burning bush, speaking to Moses, says now to his church, you are the ones that I have called. Certainly I will go with you. I will not leave you. When they ask you the name of the one that has sent you, you may say, Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. I am the good shepherd. In a wonderful commentary from the 19th century, we hear this description about shepherds in the Near East. Beneath the burning skies and the clear starry nights of Palestine, there grows up between the shepherd and his flock an union of attachment and tenderness. It is the country where at any moment sheep are liable to be swept away by some mountain torrent or carried off by hill robbers or torn by wolves. At any moment their protector may have to save them by personal hazard. Every hour of the shepherd's life is risk. Sometimes for the sake of an armful of grass in the parched summer days, he must climb precipices almost perpendicular and stand on narrow ledges of rock where the wild goat will scarcely venture. Pitiless showers, driving snows, long hours of thirst, all this he must endure if the flock is to be kept at all. And there grows up between the man and the creatures he protects a kind of friendship. You love those for whom you risk, and they love you. Therefore it is that not as here where the flock is driven, the shepherd goes before and the sheep follow him. They follow in perfect trust, even though he should be leading them away from a green pasture to another pasture they cannot yet see. This Good Shepherd Sunday, the church intends to remind those who are baptized in Christ that the ministry of Moses is well fulfilled, that the kings and prophets and priests and bishops of all time have received their king. Though he leads us into a pasture we cannot yet see, he is bound to us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. He is the great I am, and there is no other. He is the great I am and is our good shepherd. And his word to us today is, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.